looking at life, its storms and adversities from the human point of view is a trap. A trap that derails you from your natural focus in God. We allow our feelings, our emotions to rise like a tsunami. You know, tsunami, you can't resist tsunami. He will carry you away to act out of character. Many people has drifted away from God's plan. Oh my God, because of allow emotion to overwhelm. You know, overwhelm. You know what tsunami came? You cannot resist that force. It will carry you to where you don't want to go. It will take you to a place of destruction and pain and suffering.
We were just talking about this just right now, just before the camera went live. And I think many people don't realize that the biggest enemy we have is actually not far from our emotions.
That's very good.
Because we might think it's something bigger that's stopping us from hearing God or stopping us from acting according to God's will or stopping us from progressing on our spiritual life or stopping us from discerning the will of God for our life and following it. But often it's actually the tsunami, the great wave of emotions that clouds our judgment and will not allow us to see things clearly in the light of God's word. What are you facing today? Because many people right now, as they're watching this, they're only half here. When I say only half here, I mean there's only half of your heart that is actually paying attention, because the other half is so full and overwhelmed by emotions, by worry, by anxiety, by thoughts of what if not, all these different things that can go through your mind. And many of us don't realize that this is actually what is preventing us from receiving what God has for us today.
Emotions is a mountain. When emotions come, you run out of idea. Sometimes you can see in situations today when the emotions are high. We call it tide, am I right?
Yeah.
When it is high, what do you do? We need to douse the situation. The first thing you have to do is to capture your thought, to capture your mind, so you can come to a level where you begin to think right and act right. When emotions and feelings come, you lose control. When you lose control, you say something, you do something. And when your emotion comes down, you begin to regret bitterly.
That's why it's so important to pause. Because when you pause, you don't respond immediately out of emotion. It's so easy for us, especially women, to actually just fall into the temptation of just reacting out of emotions. And that is why this is such an important message today, because we want to find out what is blocking us. We want to find out what is distracting us from hearing from God or standing in the way between us and the promises of God or us and receiving the promises of God, finding out God's will for our life and going along with that. And sometimes it's actually just the fact that we're so clouded by our emotions, we can't see clearly in the light of God's word. And we're too quick to respond. So that response is not out of faith, but out of feeling. And the Bible tells us that when we pray, when we ask, when we do anything, we should do it not out of feelings, but out of faith. And faith is not a feeling. You can feel tired today. You can feel lonely next week. You can feel great tomorrow. But Jesus is going to say the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Thank you. That's why today our enemy uses situations, difficult situation in life, to attack our mind. The question is, what triggers our emotion to rise and try to stifle our faith? I remember the testimony of Isabel today. She said, after she applied for a job, she waiting for a letter of confirmation, and the letter seemed to delay in coming. And she began to get worried. Emotion began to rise. Say, Lord, I don't want my emotion to overcome my flesh. I don't want to pray because of my emotion. Lord, let your will be done. Help me. That's why when you are facing a situation that is difficult, what did you do? Run to the presence of Jesus. Run to God. And there Jesus comes, you will see the narrow way. When emotion comes, you lose control. When you lose control, you misbehave. You will say what God doesn't want you to say. You will open a door that God has not opened. You will take what God has not taken. You will say what God does not want you to say. I want to use the example of somebody to illustrate this message. A mighty man of valor. We all know Simon Peter. the pillar of the church. We're going to use Peter during this message as an example. From the beginning, his encounter with Jesus, we saw how Peter grew in his emotions, in his feelings, and began to listen to the voice of God. Everybody, you know, Simon Peter was facing fear issue. Fear caused him to deny Jesus 3 times. And fear causes Apostle Paul to rebuke Peter in public. Fear of the people will say, the man from James came and he was going to run away. But something happened that changed the life of Peter. We call it the process of the mind of God. The process of God's mind. So how can we become mature in the face of life situation to be able to keep our stand? In many relationships, in your home, in your career, there are some words we speak that can destroy a relationship beyond repair. And we have to be careful of our utterances. So if you allow the situation to overwhelm you, your mind, and your mind is stressed, next, it will trigger your emotions. You begin to anticipate the consequences that's going to happen. Fear will come, and emotion will rise. Your blood pressure will rise. Everything about you, your body will rise. There's a connection between your mind and your body. And when emotion begins, you say, I will not talk. I will not talk. They provoke you. Look at the face of the person, something is boiling inside of you. The temperature high. By the time you open your mouth and speak, everybody starts running away. So please, if you must think first, if you must speak, if you must act, think first. God wants to take us to a place of spiritual maturity as a child of God. Your situation as a believer is not a normal situation. It's an extraordinary situation. God will allow it to happen. But if you're a spiritual man, you will not allow your body, your mind, and your senses to dictate the direction of your prayer and your attitude towards God. Job has every reason to allow his emotion to overflood his faith and speak negatively. But why the man did not speak negatively? Why did he honor God in the midst of trouble? Jesus faced opposition more than any man in the whole world. At the cross, everything was talking against him. He remained still and quiet.
That's why I love what the Bible says, that though he was the Son of God, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And many of us today, we're learning something else. We don't actually learn obedience. So the question is, what are you learning through what you're going through? Are you going through a difficult situation? Are you going through a time of trial? Are you going through a place where you feel overwhelmed emotionally? What are you learning through that time? That is the question. Because you have a choice. You can learn obedience to God's word, or you can actually learn how to hold offense and act badly, act opposite to the way God wants us to act. Jesus was the Son of God, yet he learned obedience. And that's why he didn't act out of the will of God. So what are we learning through our situation? How do we conduct ourselves in the midst of that?
That is it. The way out for you, your breakthrough starts within you. The narrow way, the escape way, is within you, not on the outside. So what do we do? Let's go to the Bible. Let's take a case of Simon Peter. I like Peter because we can all identify ourselves with this man. We know whom he was. We know how he grew with Jesus. And you know how he tended to become the pillar of the church. Last time we used Paul. Today we use Peter. We can all identify with Peter. He has the same weakness we all had. And he became the pillar, Peter, Simon Peter, we all know. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 5. A situation happened in the life of Peter. Peter was an experienced fisherman, we know. But one day, he faced uncommon challenges. His business of catching fish was at the brink of failure. That was the only means he has to fend for his family. Anytime he go, the net were empty. He went back home. He couldn't catch any fish. It was a terrible situation. Like you have your business, and all of a sudden, your business is at a bit of bankrupt. No customer, no sale, and if you go down. That was the situation Peter was facing in the natural. So what happened to his emotions and feelings? You can imagine what was going through his heart and mind. His emotions definitely rose inside of him. His feelings, his emotion. Now, how do we know what was going to the life of Peter. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Let's read. We'll even start from verse 1.
Luke 5 from verse 1.
Now, as we are reading, identify your own situation. It may be sickness, it may be poverty, whatever it is. When we read the Bible, identify your trouble. And today, the same God who spoke can speak to your life today to get you out of it. Let's continue.
So it was, as the multitude pressed about to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep.
Thank you.
And let down your nets for a catch.
Let's stop there. Can't you see the assurance of Jesus? After preaching to the crowd, Jesus knew absolutely the situation of Simon Peter. Why the Lord chose the boat of Simon? He could have chosen any other boat. He chose the boat of Simon Peter.
It was his appointment with destiny.
Absolutely. And he said to him, pull your boat to the deep and launch your net for what?
A catch.
He never said try. Launch your net for a
catch.
It was a declaration of certainty that Jesus said you will catch fish today. Jesus said you have been failing in your life, failing in your marriage, failing in your business, failing everywhere. But if I speak to you today, you will fail no more. The sister said testimony has been sending email everywhere. Rejection, rejection, rejection. Because the time of God has not come. Yes, God needs to process your heart before the blessings come.
But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing.
Thank you. Now you can see now the state of his mind. You can see by the answer he gave to Jesus, Master, we have toiled hard. Mean he's focusing on him. On his own ability. And his natural mind was answering, was standing against the revelation of Jesus. Our mind, which is not renewed, would always stand against the breakthrough of the word of God in your life. God will say, do this. The mind say, no, is it possible? You begin to complain. You begin to lament, as if Jesus doesn't know what he's saying. Master, we have toiled hard and got nothing. And you say, launch your net for a catch. The mind of Peter was resisting the truth spoken by Jesus in his heart. So when God is speaking to you, the word can land on two places. First, in your heart, then in your mind. When the word lands in your heart is burning. But when it lands in your understanding, you resist it. That's why it spoke negatively. But now, when the word lands in your heart, who is the helper?
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's where he comes from. Holy Ghost, first be active here in your heart. He will tell you. Ruth will tell me, Bastian, can you do this? My mind say no. But the Spirit say, listen to what you say. Do it. Listen to what you say. Do it. That's Holy Spirit for you. So Peter began to argue. But I believe the Spirit of God began to say, listen to the word of this man. It is conscience. That's the help he gives you. Okay, this is again. Peter said what?
Peter said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless. At your word, I will let down the net.
Who prompted you to say that?
His conscience.
His conscience. That's the work of Holy Spirit.
And that was the battle between...
Hallelujah.
Faith and feelings.
Faith and feeling, mind and conscience. Mm. When Jesus is speaking to you, Jesus sees beyond the natural. You may be poor today, but Jesus is the blessed person you come tomorrow. Jesus sees beyond your natural circumstances. Are you barren? Jesus can see the children you're going to have. You're poor. He sees the blessing provided, blessing coming to your life. He sees beyond now, beyond tomorrow. There is your future. Nevertheless, I will what?
At your word, I will let down the net.
Thank you. At your word, I will let down the net. This means his conscience was still alive. His mind was doubting, but the conscience said, let me obey this man.
even though everything on the outside looks like there's no hope, there's no way out, there's no future, there's no solution, you can still say, nevertheless, because Jesus' word still stands.
Thank you. Which voice are you listening? Your mind or your heart? Your mind or your conscience? Which one do you listen to? So faith comes when the word in your heart prevail over the thinking processes.
Wait, write that down. That's important. Faith comes when the word in your heart prevails over the thinking processes. And those thinking processes are focused on sense evidence, what we see on the outside. But faith comes when the word prevails over that. And it can only prevail when it's actually in your heart.
Faith comes when the word in your heart prevails over the thinking processes. How do we know the word of Christ prevails over the thinking processes of Simon? How do we know? Okay, read it again. Nevertheless.
Because he said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets.
And what did he do?
What happened next? And he did.
And he did. Oh. Faith comes when the word prevails over the thinking processes. You can have doubt. Our mind triggers doubt when we face the impossibilities. This is natural to all human beings, right? But faith arises in your heart with the living word. So when you're wrestling a battle, God does not mind your doubt as long as you are seeking answer in the midst of your doubt. How do you seek answer? It's your heart that seeks the answer. Your answer rings in your heart when the Holy Ghost speaks here. That is the answer to your situation. See beyond the natural. The devil wants to push you to create a tsunami of feeling and emotion to cloud your mind so you never obey the voice of your heart. Joshua, after the departure of Moses, God said, Joshua, go to the promised land and conquer this promised land. You can see how God spoke to Joshua and warned him against fear, not to be dismayed. I am with you. Do not fear. Do not worry. That is the battle we face today. Between your mind and the conscience. The message today, do not ignore your conscience.
Because there's always a battle between whether to listen to your conscience or whether to listen to the voice of fear, the voice of your feelings, the voice of your mind, the voice of your emotions. All of this can be telling you a completely different thing. In the case of Peter, he was tired. He was physically tired all night. He'd been trying, no way out, no catch of fish. He was experiencing failure in his business. He was thinking, how am I going to go back? Nothing to provide for my family. What am I going to do? All these things were in his mind. And that's why he said, I've been doing this all night without a catch. But because of the word of Jesus, of who Jesus is, his conscience told him, listen to this man and act on what he says. And that's why he said, nevertheless, at your word, I will do that. So there's still chance for you today because Jesus' word still stands. You can still say nevertheless in your situation. And you can still say, Jesus, at your word, I believe your will for my life.
When you're conscious of the inner voice in your heart, in your conscience, you'll be conscious of your faith in the midst of doubt. You will be conscious of God's ability in the midst of impossibilities. You will believe the impossible. You will see the invisible and you have a breakthrough. He obeyed because it's not about you. It's not about Jesus. It's not about God's ability. Not my ability, his resources. He obeyed and laid down the net while his mind was still doubting. What happened after?
And when they had done this, verse 6, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, but O Lord.
Say the last one. When he saw the miraculous catch of fish, not only was his boat full, but the other boats were full. What did he do?
He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me.
What's the meaning that he fell down?
He went to his knees.
Why Simon Peter went to his knees before Jesus? Why?
Because the miracle that Jesus had performed was so great that it made him conscious of his own sin, of his own inadequacy before God, and that's what made him fall to his knees.
Read it again.
When Simon Peter saw it, he mm-hmm. fell down at Jesus' knees, mm-hmm. saying, "Depart from me.
Depart from me.
For I am a sinful man."
Okay. Number one, he was on his knees. Mm. And he said, "Depart from me." Mm. Why he said that word? I'm a sinful man. Why he said that? Three things happened there. Why did Peter went on his knees? Number two, why he say, "Depart from me."
Mm.
How can somebody bless me and say, "Depart from me"? And number three, I'm a sinful man. What triggered him? That is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the work of the helper from above.
Conviction, righteousness.
Go to John chapter 16, from verse 4. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Your conscience, my conscience, is a communication point, contact point for the Holy Spirit. My conscience is the communication point, contact point with the spirit of faith, the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. So what happens, how you work in our conscience to do that? What happened to Simon Peter is exactly what Jesus said in the book of John chapter 16. Let's start from verse 5. Listen to what Jesus said.
John 16 from verse 5. "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going?"
They're missing Jesus, am I right? Speaking, miracle took place. But Jesus said, "I'm going. You will not see me anymore." Peter, in this message we are talking about, you see the process between his influence of the senses over his faith. And one day Jesus said, "I'm going. You will not see me anymore." So I've been preparing all these 3 years to listen to the inner voice in your heart. Time is coming. You will no longer see me. But listen to your conscience. Deep within you, I will guide you, I will speak to you. How? Continue reading.
"But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away.
It is better for you that I go away, you will see me no more.
For if I do not go away, the helper..."
If I do not go?
"The helper will not come to you."
The Holy Spirit will never come to you.
"But if I depart..."
If I depart and you no longer see me...
"I will send him to you."
From heaven, I will send the Holy Spirit to you.
"And when he has come..."
When the Holy Ghost comes...
"He will convict the world..."
Oh my God. He will convict the world of what?
"Of sin..."
"Of sin..."
"And of righteousness..."
"Of righteousness..."
"And of judgment..."
"And of judgment." That's what happened to Peter. When the Holy Ghost came, he said to him, "Listen to this man. He asked you to throw the net. Listen to him." When Naaman came to Elisha with leprosy, expecting the prophet to come and lay hands, the prophet said, "Go to the river Jordan and dip yourself 7 times. Mm-hmm. Instruction in righteousness. He was annoyed. "What? The rivers of Syria are better than this dirty river. Instead of coming and pray for me, you are telling me to go to the river." He was annoyed. The servant said, "If the prophet has asked you to do something difficult, would you not do it? What is easy?" He said, "Go to the river and dip yourself." He went, he obeyed, and he was healed. What is difficult? Cast your net. The rest is not your job. It's God's job. When you are willing to obey, God will do his promises. So when he saw the miracle, the focus of Peter shifted immediately from his ability to Christ. Who is this man? Holy Ghost came and convicted him of sin. "I'm a sinner." Right? And convict him of righteousness. What does it mean? Jesus said, "He will convict the world of righteousness because you will see me no more."
Mm.
Mean you will not see him, but you will believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, "Depart from me." Mean I am not righteous. You are too righteous for me. I'm a sinner. You are not a sinner. "Depart from me, for I am a sinner. You have nothing to do with a sinner like me." He acknowledged the divine nature of Christ that day.
Because it was the presence of Jesus that the Holy Spirit came onto the scene in that miracle. When he saw the presence of Jesus, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and that's when he fell to his knees, because it made him aware of his own position. The purity of Jesus' presence made him aware of his sin. That was the work of the Holy Spirit.
Good. That's the work of the miracles. Mm. The miracle will say to you, "Hey, listen to this man. He's from God. Obey him and follow him."
It's true, because many people say, "Oh, they're looking for a miracle. They're looking for a miracle." You know, even in the case of the time of Jesus when he was physically here on earth, the miracles served a purpose. What was the purpose of those miracles? To prove that God was with Jesus, that he did not act alone. Why? So that they would listen to his teaching and receive salvation about the kingdom of heaven. That is the purpose. So in the same way, the purpose of any miracle in your life is to draw you closer to God, is to make you listen to him, knowing that, wow, Jesus is real. Like we just heard from the testimonies, Jesus has done this. This makes me more serious in my relationship with God. This makes me more desiring to read the Bible, because you see what God is doing in your life, and then you can pay attention to his word.
If Satan overwhelms you with fear, when it comes to Jesus, he will overwhelm you with blessings. The defeat was so much, but when Jesus came, the blessing was so much, the boat cannot contain it. When they come to Jesus, he will give you more than you need. Come to me, you will never hunger again. If you believe in me, you never thirst again. What happened? Peter saw something. His mind was renewed immediately by what he saw. Fear disappeared. He focuses on Jesus. That this man, his word, have done the miracle. This man is from God. What happened after? Continue.
For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all.
They forsook
and followed him.
And followed Jesus. That's the last one. Holy Ghost convicted of judgment and their life changes forever. Their life changes forever. They have seen something far more important than this situation. They have seen something so precious they have never seen in their life. They decide to drop their net, to forsake everything, to embrace Jesus. That's why Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a pearl of great price. He goes and sell everything and go and take it.
That's the scripture I was reading when I was asking God for a name for our daughter.
That's pearl.
Yeah.
So, this is the work of Holy Ghost. I mean, the Holy Ghost will help you to see beyond your situation. He will show you how wrong sin is. And he will give you the solution and take you to believe in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's conviction of righteousness. And then of judgment. He will remove poverty out of your life and bless you forever. He will cast the devil out of your life and bring the power of God. Fear will disappear. Peace will come. And your life will change forever. And the battle was won in the heart of Peter, because now he forgot about his trouble and embraced Jesus along the road. That's why Jesus said, he wants to follow me. Carry your
cross
and follow me. Lay down your net, and lay down your own will and embrace my will and follow me. And your life will never be the same. You can see at that moment, Peter dropped everything and began to follow Jesus. Why did Peter follow Jesus? That's the question now. Why did not say, follow me? Why Jesus chose the 12 and they follow him every single day?
Because in order to learn the ways of Jesus, the only way was to follow him and become disciples.
Thank you. Disciple of what?
Of Jesus.
If you say, I'm a disciple of Jesus, what does it really mean? We are disciples of Jesus. Do we see Jesus?
A disciple of the word.
Disciple of the word. You said it all. Disciple of the word. I mean, you allow the word of God to discipline your mind and your heart. When the word enters your heart, you begin to bring change within you. And that change will affect your mind and renew it. Now, the processing of following Jesus physically, listening to instruction from Christ, they were immature. They were babies. Am I right? They were walking by sight. They saw the miracle. They saw Lazarus. They were walking by sight, not by faith. But in John 16, when Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, I will send you another comforter, Holy Spirit. Their life changed forever. They begin to listen to the voice in their conscience. Christianity is all about the heart, the purity of the heart, a pure conscience, a good conscience. Your conscience is a deep pot of God's word. Your conscience is a well of life, the well of fountain of faith. Your conscience is where everything starts. Satan will do everything for you not to listen to your conscience.
And that is why he'll bombard you with emotions.
I'm telling you.
A tsunami of emotions.
of trouble.
So that will make emotions rise in your heart. The trouble will make emotions rise in your mind. And that is why it's difficult for you to listen to the voice of your conscience in that situation. That's why always remember, pause, listen to the voice of your conscience. Read the word of God.
Pause.
And check what has peace, what brings peace into your heart. That is how you'll know if it's in line with the will of God.
Thank you. Pause. Listen. How do you pause? Run to your prayer room, run to God. Stop listening to the voice of your situation and tune it to God in prayer. Mm. You say, pause and listen. Learn to sit back in silence and listen. It is true when the noise is too much, you can't hear anything. But when you enter the presence of God, when the Holy Ghost comes, the first thing he will do is to restore you back to yourself. Let's go to another example. That was the first example. He saw the glory of God and followed Jesus. But there was a time. Many people saw the miracle and followed Jesus. You don't follow Jesus because of a miracle. You become disciple of the word. So Peter became disciple of the word, as Ruth just said. But the others were still believing in the miracle. They never believed in the word. In John chapter 6, they abandoned Jesus. We all know. And Jesus turned and said, you, why are you not going? John 6, 64. He said he knew that from the beginning who believes or not. Who answered? Peter.
He said, what? Where will we go? You have the words of eternal life.
You can see Peter is changing now. He begins to cling to the word of God. His conscience begins to know this man, his word, is the word of truth, the word of life. I will not go anywhere. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you, for you have the words of everlasting life. When Jesus was going to do, oh my God, the greatest task, the exit, go to the cross to die for human beings, which mind will accept that? That your master, whom you love so much, is going to cross to die. The person you love, will you accept that to happen?
No.
Will your mind accept such fatality? But before Jesus said that, he first put to the test in Matthew 16. Let's go to Matthew 16, verse 15. So we are talking about learn to listen to your mind. Your mind can only be disciplined by the word of God. If the word of God comes to your heart and you listen to it and you obey it, something will come to increase your faith, to strengthen your mind. You get used to it. This is God speaking to me. I will never doubt him again.
Now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread?
Oh, you of little faith, why do you allow your mind to come and overwhelm your faith again? Because of food, because of lack of this. Continue.
Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up?
Me? Do you remember the miracles I've done? You forgot.
Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to be aware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees.
They understood at last what Jesus was saying. Verse 15, you can see Jesus is taking them little by little to the place of understanding of his word. Verse 15.
He said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Peter said that. What causes Peter to say that?
The Holy Spirit.
Continue.
Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church.
What is the rock?
The rock of the word of God.
The living word of God. The word in your heart. I mean, Peter listened to his conscience. And then somebody helped him. Holy Ghost helped him to say, this is the Son of the living God. Revelation came in his heart. And he spoke it out. And what happened? What did Jesus say? Jesus blessed him for hearing that word. If you are a disciple of Christ, Jesus wants to train you to discipline your conscience to be able to discern the voice of God, the will of God, and the purpose of God in your life. So you can walk and follow him in the narrow way of faith.
And then just a bit later, he was in the natural thinking and then received a rebuke from Jesus.
Right, let's go there. Let's go to verse 21.
From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day.
Kill my master? God forbid. The mind and the emotion rose immediately. The mind and the emotion rose immediately.
The tsunami was coming.
The tsunami came. Tsunami of fear. What? No.
What are we going to do? What will happen to us? All these questions.
Let's listen to what Peter said now when the tsunami came.
Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying,
"Can't you imagine?
Far be it from you,
Peter,
Lord.
Peter is rebuking Jesus.
This shall not happen to you.
How can a man then say, depart from me? Begin to tell you, what are you saying? Can you, far be it from you?" He was speaking words of human being.
That's why when suddenly the word is not what we want to hear naturally, we are tempted to doubt that the voice is from God.
Because the word is no longer dominating your mind.
But if the word is performing a miracle, go and lay down your nets for a catch, and that catch was a mighty one which brought great blessing to your life. That's when, the word, everything you say, you have the words of eternal life. But what if that word is actually telling you, do this, or this is going to happen. We have to go through this. You have to obey me in this area of your life that you don't want to. That's when we say, God, a loving God wouldn't want this to happen, wouldn't want this for me, wouldn't want me to go through this, wouldn't want me to go through this situation. And that is when the lines become blurred and we begin to listen not to the voice of our conscience, but we listen to the tsunami of emotions. And that's when we doubt the word of God.
And that's what happened. And what Jesus said to him?
The most famous rebuke in the whole of scripture. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but things of men."
I mean, you are thinking like an ordinary man. You don't think like I think, like God thinks. God thinks through your conscience. You think through your mind. Your own mind, exposed to the senses, can have his own thought, but that mainly reflect the thoughts of God. The deep thoughts of God are in your heart. If Peter had listened to the testimony of the Holy Ghost in calm and peace, he would say, that the will of God be done.
And he also would have understood that Jesus had actually been talking about this in parables for a long time.
Three times. Matthew 16, Matthew 17, Matthew 20.
But because his mind was just blocking that as, no, it can't mean that. It can't possibly be that. I don't want to listen to that. He didn't allow himself to actually understand what Jesus was saying. He just blocked it mentally because it's something that he did not want to happen to him emotionally. And that is why we too, if we're led by our emotions, we can actually block what Jesus is trying to tell us and guide us in our life.
Go to Matthew 26, 31. We're going to learn from Peter. The Bible we read is not history. We have to learn from Peter. Everything Peter did is applied to you and me in the light of your circumstances of life today, because the same Holy Ghost is there. Let's go. Matthew 26, verse 31.
Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will
Peter.
Never be made to stumble."
I love Peter. The first one to talk is always him. Always the first one to talk. Say, "Master, even all these are here, all of them, they will run away from you. Me, I, Peter, I will never. I'm going to die for you." That's what he said. Say it again.
Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble."
I would never. He was speaking his mind.
Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times."
Jesus said, "Peter, you would deny me three times."
Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny
you. Even if I have to die, I will not deny it. Let's go to Luke 22, verse 34, see what happened over there. This means our natural mind, our natural will cannot stand the test of time. Faith comes when the word of life in your heart prevails over the thinking processes. And then word will take you to go through the narrow way of faith.
Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me.
Continue. What did he say?
And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack and sandals, did you lack anything? Mm-hmm. So they said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it. Mm. And likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. So they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accused.
They never understood the sword Jesus is talking about, the sword of the Spirit. But Peter took it to the letter. When they come to arrest Jesus, who drew the sword? It was Peter.
Peter.
He fought the battle in the natural, but the battle was in the Spirit. And the sword Jesus is talking about is a sort of faith. But Peter's faith was weakened. When Jesus was arrested, what happened? We all know. When Peter saw death, real situation, come on. Forget about Jesus and deny Jesus three times.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a weakness. But after Jesus said to him, Simon, Satan tried to sift you like what?
Like wheat.
But I will pray for you. When you return to me.
Strengthen your brothers.
Strengthen your, what does it mean?
When you have come back to...
to me.
To me.
To your senses.
Yeah.
When you come back to your conscience. When the emotion will stop. When the fear will stop. And you're calm. And you begin to see clearly. You will repent and come back to me.
That's what I love about Jesus. Jesus is always seeing the future where we come back to him.
Yes.
There's always, even to the last moment, there's opportunity for you to come back to Jesus. And that's what Jesus desires of us. And even if you're in a very tough time right now, remember Jesus knows our tomorrow and Jesus holds our future in his hands and he can see a time where you're going to come back to him and you're going to be a source of strength to others because of what you've gone through. Because of what you've endured, you'll be able to be a source of strength and encouragement to other people.
So, if you have been listening to the voice of your situation and you have been speaking negatively, thinking negatively, behaving negatively in your home, in your business, in your career, and you have spoken words against your faith, you can come back to Jesus. Mm. Everybody makes a mistake. Don't run from God. Go back to him. Mm. As Peter said, today I believe the word of God will reset your mind so you'll be able to see clearly, look deep beyond your situation. Beyond that situation lies your future. God is not moved by your challenges or by situation. God is greater than them. He allowed this for a purpose, to discipline you, to train you, to listen to your heart instead of your mind. Our mind look at the situation. I see impossibilities. But if you are able to allow the Spirit of God to lead you, calmness will come. Revelation will come. Faith will grow. And you will overcome every obstacle that comes in your way by learning to listen to the truth from your heart. That's where the truth is. When Jesus came and Lazarus was buried, everybody says it's over, right? But Jesus listened to the word from the Father and saw the resurrection. He spoke the word of faith and Lazarus came back to life. So, to be a disciple of Christ is to allow the word of God to educate your conscience, to train your conscience. Last verse, and we conclude, Hebrews 5:14. That's what God wants us all to come to a place of maturity, by learning to listen to the voice of our conscience. Do not ignore your conscience. Do not ignore the still small voice of hope in your heart. Do not allow your mind to be the master of your conscience. Let your mind be the servant of your conscience, for the truth comes from your conscience.
But solid food belongs to those who are of full age.
Are we a baby? Drink milk? That all the solid food of the rock of the living word.
Those who by reason of use have their senses exercise to discern both good and evil.
Mean, let your conscience be educated to be able to discern the difference between what is right or wrong, and good and evil.
Conscience can only be educated when you're not clouded by a tsunami of emotions.
What is your situation today? What are you going through today that caused you to be hopeless? What caused you to see your mountain bigger than God? What caused you to speak negatively, to stop praying and see God in a bad light? Today I pray, as Simon Peter did, begin to believe the inner voice in your heart. That's where the truth comes. When the Holy Ghost begins to speak to your heart deep in you, changes are beginning. You will see life clearly. In Jesus' name. So, learn to listen to the testimony of your conscience. The truth comes from your conscience. The truth, the inwardly received truth, when the Holy Ghost speaks the mind of God in your heart, that's the mind of Christ that will overwhelm every giant that stands against you. And you will see life clearly. You will see what have not yet been seen. You will say what have not yet been said. You will speak the word of faith, and breakthrough will come in Jesus' name. Amen.
So don't worry if emotions seem a lot in your life right now. There's opportunity for you to pause and ask the Holy Spirit to speak through your conscience to your heart and ask God for a hearing heart to listen to his word and his voice in Jesus' name.
Read your Bible slowly, attentively, repeatedly. That's the way you educate your conscience. Read your Bible slowly, attentively, and repeatedly. We'll come again next week about that. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you.